We proceed and we go to discuss classification and measurements. Who's down there?
Yes.
Tiernan, please.
So, agenda paper 6A analyzes two issues. First is whether own credit requirements in IFRS 9 should be made available for early application before the completed version of IFRS 9 is issued. And second is whether the mandatory effective date of IFRS 9 should be deferred. So I'll begin with own credit and discuss its background in our analysis of how its application can be accelerated, and then move on to whether to defer IFRS 9's effective date. I'll also be asking the board whether it agrees with staff's proposals on each topic. Now, in developing the limited amendments ED, the ISB decided to propose that once the completed version of IFRS 9 is issued, entities will be permitted to apply early just the own credit requirements. Respondents to the limited amendments ED nearly all supported this proposal. However, most of them also requested that the ISB make the requirements available before IFRS 9 is completed in whole. To accomplish this, most suggested incorporating the requirements into IAS 39, while others suggested incorporating them into IFRS 9 2010. And though it wasn't asked in the ED, some respondents also thought that recycling should be required for own credit gains or losses when the financial liability is derecognized. At the time when the board decided on the approach to allow the early application of own credit when IFRS 9 is completed in whole, it didn't expect there would be a significant difference in time between modifying the early application guidance in IFRS 9 2010 or allowing early application at the completion of the whole of IFRS 9, and this is the reason that it decided upon the latter. Feedback received on the limited amendments ED, however, reiterated the importance of making the own credit requirements available as soon as possible. In order to respond to this feedback, the staff think that the early application guidance in IFRS 9 should be amended in order to allow the early application of own credit requirements when the ISB adds the hedge accounting chapter to IFRS 9, which is expected to happen in the next few months. This approach will allow entities to apply own credit without affecting any decisions that may be made once remaining phases of IFRS 9 are finalized. Though some respondents suggested to incorporate the requirements of the IAS 39, the staff disagree with this because we believe that introducing them into IAS 39 would potentially require exposure, which would be required to meet due process requirements, and that would further delay use of the own credit requirements. There are also a number of document management issues that would arise by creating new variants of IAS 39, and so ultimately this is a messier way to make the own credit requirements available. And from an IFRS perspective, the change could be incorporated into IFRS 9 with a hedge accounting chapter more quickly than into IAS 39 as an amendment. And the staff also disagree with respondents who suggested introducing recycling and note that a question on recycling wasn't included in the limited amendments ED. However, the question of the use of recycling in OCI remains open, and that's going to be covered in the conceptual framework discussion paper. So I'll open it to any discussion on the own credit requirements.
I have a question on the last point. Regarding the recycling or the timing of the feedback we will receive on the discussion paper and then carrying on the exposure draft on the conceptual framework in parallel with the timing of the completion of IFRS 9 and the application of the on credit risk. If it happens that we get enough feedback supporting recycling on the conceptual framework discussion paper, does that impact the way we will finally design the own credit requirements and possibly later on at the time or before it becomes effective, reconsider the non-recycling that we have decided here? It would be odd if we had sufficient feedback saying, yes, recycling is normal when you
have a situation in which a bank buys back its own debt at a steep discount and then truly makes a profit.
Exactly. When the profit is really realized.
Yeah.
And the concept of recycling in OCI in the framework is when it is realized. That's the way we introduce the concept.
But isn't this really such an unusual circumstance that analysts would find out about?
I agree, it's not frequent. Huh? But because it's not frequent, I don't see why we should prohibit recycling as well as here we say it's not frequent, so we prohibit. We could say it's not frequent, so let's permit recycling. Because the realization, I don't see the harm in having recycling. Now, I don't want to discuss benefits or merits now. I just say, in terms of having two projects running in parallel, either some feedback on the concept of framework project onto the final accounting for own credit risk when it is realized.
I'm hoping that IFRS 9 will be finished before we're finalizing the conceptual framework.
I'm not saying finalized. I say we have feedback on the discussion paper and maybe issue on experiment.
I couldn't resist, given we're always talking about the timing of IFRS 9. But I think that's a broader question for the board, because there's other circumstances in our literature where we don't allow recycling now. So I think the board's going to have a bigger question about what it then does if it decides that it does like recycling again, in terms of these circumstances where it doesn't have recycling. So I don't know that it's just IFRS 9. But it's a fair question. At some point, once we've got enough clarity, I guess the board might want to ask that question again.
I think we'd want to be very careful about adjusting it when we come to a preliminary thing, and then potentially having to adjust it again.
We need to be comfortable through the outcome of the discussion paper on exposure draft and conceptual framework. Only on that basis we could consider.
But then I think that becomes relevant to Sue's point about the timing then, because I agree that we may have got a firm view back from the discussion paper by the time we get to finalising, but I wouldn't have thought we finished.
Second aspect is convergence. I think the US, the FSB, has recycling on this on credit risk mechanism or on it.
They do. But as Hans said,
I would not be adverse to it, but then again, I think that the circumstances will be so unusual that it will be noticed anyway, and at least it is very positive for your balance sheet. But anyway,
I think the fewer things we open up, and the quicker we come through this horrible story, the better it is. I mean, we've spent so much time, and each time we are reviewing something, issuing a new document, we lose another 6 or 9 or 12 or 18 months or something. So let's do what you are proposing. Let's make this done and move on.
Completely agree. Mary?
I support the staff's conclusion about making own credit available earlier than we have it now, not reconsidering recycling at this time and waiting for more information from conceptual framework, and we'll take up the other piece, but maybe I'm just inherently a messier person, but, when Tiernan said, it's messy to do it in 39, I think if we look at the statements in the paper itself, in other words, we are effectively proposing to permit an entity to apply own credit to when they're accounting under IAS 39, and there are a couple of similar statements that this is what people are looking for. I think if that's what we're trying to do, why don't we put it in IAS 39? And I very much support the idea that we have in IFRS 9 of not starting to pick and choose, yes, I'll take the first part, not the second part, but the third part, and saying if you want to early adopt, you got to take a package. And I, rather than creating an exception to that, to allow those who are still accounting under 39 to pick up this one piece of IFRS 9, I'd rather just be straightforward and do it in IAS 39 itself, even if that meant, I take down the point, but even if that meant a bit more focused due process, if we concluded that the ED we did does not provide sufficient due process basis for amending 39 instead of IFRS 9. From what's in this paper alone, it sounds like it does, but I think that's a procedural question rather than a how do we conceptually want to proceed. So support everything except the way you want to do this, and I'd say IFRS 39 instead of IFRS 9.
Tricia?
I agree with Mary. And I will point, in addition to the fact that we just had a problem where some of us thought we were amending or requiring something to be reported quarterly, but we didn't make the amendment to IAS 34. We did it in a transition provision in IFRS 7, and it caused a lot of confusion. And I think that allowing something to be applied by people following IAS 39 by putting it in IFRS 9 is going to lead to the same kind of confusion. And so I'm very supportive of Mary's suggestion. And if we do feel that we need additional due process because this wasn't exposed on its own, perhaps we could ask the Due Process Oversight Committee for an expedited due process, a short exposure period, because it was in the other document. So I support Mary.
Any other?
Just a question.
Yeah.
How many iterations now are we up to?
36.
Of IFRS 9, we have 9, we have 10, we have this one, and then we'll have hedging 2013, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll have a number of different iterations.
Asset and liability.
9, 10, 13, and then own credit on top. So there'll be 4 variants, and then the final, so 5 versions of IFRS 9.
Early application, you can combine them in at least 36 different ways.
Plus a combination of hedge accounting under 39 and IFRS 9.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to stand on ceremony, but I don't think this is a good standard setting. That's my opinion. So.
So what would you like that?
I'd leave it the way it is. The transparency around these gains is sufficient. The marketplace is not being misled. Companies make the disclosures. They explain the results.
Don't overestimate the markets.
Well, I'm not. But it
seems even analysts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the opening in the newspaper will still be a big gain for or big loss, and it has to do with that. It is a problem.
It's more of a headache for us. I agree.
If we do it as part of the hedge accounting changes, then it's, we're going to be balancing that anyway. That's a pretty easy change for us to make from a sort of administrative.
Due process doesn't bother me.
That also is the concept.
I was maybe building on what Pat said. I kind of think that it would be useful to get it out there as part of the IFRS 9 package, because it's going, we already have the stage process with the IFRS 9, so people are used to that and they're used to the process that's going. It concerns me bringing it in with 39, because IFRS 9 is available. It is there for people to use, so if people want to use it, they can use it there. I agree with Pat's point about there is some visibility. People know about the thing that's there. So if they go the IFRS 9 approach, they can fix it. If they don't go the IFRS 9 approach, they can still disclose it and talk about it, and people understand what they're talking about. I don't want to have anything more to do with 39 than we absolutely have to, simply because I think people are already starting to think about changing to 9. They're already starting to think about how they're going to change to 9. In the meantime, we keep changing the base thing that they're trying to sort of, that's meant to just be in the background. So my inclination would be to go exactly as recommended by the staff, I think.
I support what Daryl said, that I think at this stage, I did raise this question last time and said that watch out the way we are going. I think Sue remembers this, and that I said we will be, the only thing that I'm interested is that this should be available to people as early as possible. If you promise me the hedge accounting, which I thought John Smith is gone for a year, so there's sufficient time between the two, so it's time to issue hedging. It's time to issue hedging without John Smith's issue around here. So I thought if you can issue this before December 31st and people can early adopt that portion of the IFRS 9 relating to own credit, I think that's the eminently suitable thing to do. I'm only focused on the time aspect of it. I do expect, I take into point Pat's thing, but that means with the August, no board meeting, another 30 days due process. We are really bumping against December 31st, and that worries me a lot.
Okay, who supports the staff recommendation?
Thirteen.
Okay, thank you, Chairman.
Okay.
Second question.
Moving on to effective date. The eliminated amendments ED didn't specifically ask for feedback on the mandatory effective date of IFRS 9. Nevertheless, in response to that ED, many respondents urged the IASB to confirm as soon as possible that the mandatory effective date would be deferred, in particular because the lead time needed to implement the impairment proposals was expected to be a bit more extensive. So these respondents also noted that the practice of allowing 18 months for the implementation of new standards was quite general, and that because the remaining phases of IFRS 9, even if they were completed by the end of 2013, would not allow 18 months until the current effective date on 1st January 2015, they raised some concerns about that mandatory effective date. The impairment project did, however, expose a question on the effective date, and the IASB indicated in that ED that it may be deferred. And this was felt to be necessary because, as I just mentioned, typically we would leave 18 months between the completion of an IFRS and then mandatory effective date. Most respondents to the impairment ED stated that they would need a period of at least 3 years in order to implement those proposals. And the staff also note that the impairment project has only just begun redeliberations and that the ISB will only be able to determine an exact mandatory effective date after the redeliberations on both impairment and classification and measurement are finalized. In light of the considerations I just mentioned, the staff recommend that the ISB should confirm that the current mandatory effective date of 1 January 2015 should be deferred and no mandatory effective date should be specified. This change could be balloted along with the new hedge accounting chapter and the basis for conclusions of IFRS 9 2013 would then explain that the mandatory effective date will be determined when the outstanding phases of IFRS 9 are finalized, and it would indicate that the likely lead time that will be allowed following the final version of IFRS 9 as well.
So you mean the hedging part will be effective separately? Or
no.
As a package at all, not?
The own credit part?
No, it's
hedging. But from you, what you just said give me impression. We will make 9 effect as a package after we finish classification and the measurement and the impairment. Mm. But my understanding in our previous decision is we will make hedging effective earlier than others. Am I right?
No.
Early application.
So it would still, we wouldn't change how the phasing works in 9 yet. So you'd still be able to just apply financial assets or assets and liabilities, or assets, liabilities, and hedge accounting. Own credit early for all of those. But you don't. There wouldn't be a date on which that would be mandatory. Rather, it would be early. You'd be available now if you want to use IFRS 9, but we wouldn't set the mandatory effective date just yet until we've got a better visibility on the final completion of the project.
But I understand on this part. Another part is whether, you know, a company has to apply hedging part together with asset liability.
You can just apply assets and liabilities, or you can apply assets and liabilities and hedge accounting, but you can't just apply hedge accounting.
Yes, but so the reality is we are now under redirection of classification measurement.
Yes.
Whether they can apply the version before we finalize the,
They can still if they want to.
That was my point.
We haven't changed, because the board actually wants to reduce all of these choices. At the moment we've got so many different permutations of how people can account for financial instruments. So the board didn't want to allow people now just to apply hedge accounting with IAS 39. So we're not proposing to do that. The reality is that probably somebody, a bank for example, would be unlikely to apply IFRS 9 with hedge accounting now because of the changes we're making to classification and measurement. But if you were a corporate, for example, and you didn't have that many financial instruments to worry about, you might decide that the benefits of the IFRS 9 hedge accounting model is such that you would still early apply classification and measurement with hedge accounting, but you do need to apply IFRS 9's classification and measurement as it is today.
Sure, but
you know, you try to distinguish between financial institutions and others. But there is a high probability the corporate also invest into debt, either government or not,
but they have to
which may arrive at different classification as a new amendment.
Yeah.
So, but you say even though we will allow them to apply hedging plus the current version of asset liability. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they'll have to change their accounting for assets later.
Isn't it time to consider the possibility of killing one of those four variants of IFRS 9? We'll be completing that at the end of 2013, and we have an earlier version, 2009, only assets and liability. Why does it make sense today, at the end of 2013, to say the assets are not the liability at the same time? Does this make sense 3 years after?
Well, the board's decision was that we'd keep them all alive for now, but once we finish the whole of IFRS 9, we're going to kill all the earlier versions of IFRS 9, so we'll clean it up then.
That will happen
when we finish all the phases.
With impairment.
Yeah.
No, okay, but impairment is, in my opinion, independent from the liabilities accounting, correct? There is no relationship between accounting for liabilities under IFRS 9 and impairment. So, do we have to wait until we finish impairment, which may take 1 more year, 2 more years, to say that we have assets and liabilities being accounted for under two different regimes? I don't see the reason why. I mean, maybe we could consider aligning the first application of IFRS 9 to the version 2010, which is assets and liabilities, and say forget about the earlier version, which was only assets. Maybe. I'd like to see some analysis of it. Because really, having four versions of IFRS 9, as some have said, is not the best in terms of standard settings. If we could kill one of those, say you have one module dealing with specification and measurement of assets and liabilities, one module dealing with on credit risk, and one module dealing with hedging on the seats.
Plus IS 39, still in effect.
And still, IS 39 is still alive, yes.
If not our fault, you know, we are forced.
I think the realistic position, though, is that in reality, obviously you can't kill it for people who are using it. So if you're already using IFRS 9 2009, we can't take it away from you. So you're really talking about people who might choose to start to apply those earlier versions between now and when we finish. I think it's a handful of people, frankly, who are going to maybe use it for the hedge accounting. And we're only talking, hopefully, less than a year. So it's only a very short phase. So I'm not sure.
I agree with what's proposed in here, subject to one thing. We've kind of locked in on the three-year lead time. That came out of the view that's been expressed in the impairment feedback we talked about yesterday. But it's something at the impairment level that we haven't talked about yet. So it feels to me like we're locking in a three-year period quite early in the process. My personal feeling still is that given the operational simplifications that we've provided in the impairment process up to now, 3 years still feels to me like it might be longer than we need to. So I wondered whether something like a two-year period at this stage, subject to the discussions that come out of the impairment process,
just what we might say on the basis in terms of the indication.
Yeah. Why are you saying that we are locking in 3 years? Because paragraph 38 just said, staff recommend that the ISB should confirm that the current mandatory effective date will be deferred with the issuance, blah, 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 without specifying exact mandatory effective date.
I thought 3 years was just an insurance.
No. End of paragraph 38.
End of paragraph 38, it says, and suggests that the appropriate period is around 3 years.
I think if we can do something different, it was just a suggestion.
Yeah, we'll just leave.
We should lock ourselves into 3 years.
Would you feel better about it if we say that it would be at least 2 years?
No, I
would stick with the beginning of 38.
A sufficient period.
Martin, now?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we agree with the staff recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, without
can I reiterate my demand that maybe we have a look between now and the end of the year when we issue this thing, whether we can maybe consolidate a bit the versions.
I'll let the staff
think about that. All right.
Thank you.
What's next?